Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Let's welcome in our own Congressman Ryan McKenzie.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. Always great to be back on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you're very popular. You're probably one of our most... I think you're more popular than me, quite frankly. So
you're good
for the ratings.
Never.
So tell me about those two. I know that you know, this is a big week for you as President Trump is now here. But let's jump right into it if we can. The two social media posts that you put out there, let's start with the working families. You have your own proposal of new legislation. What do you want to do here and what do you hope to accomplish?
Sure. Well, we have a tremendous opportunity in front of us with the House, the Senate, and the White House all lined up. We know that one of the biggest pieces of legislation that we are going to be moving is what we call reconciliation. And what that is, just to explain it to everybody, is that it's a piece of legislation relating to budget and taxation. And the reason it's our most significant opportunity is because it's the one piece of legislation that only requires 50 votes to get passed in the Senate. So you don't need the 60 votes like you do on a lot of other policy things, but you're constrained to only items relating to budget and taxation. And so within that package, everybody is pushing in their ideas and getting them out on the table. The Ways and Means Committee this week had basically an open call for members to come and testify in public and present what they think are the most significant things that they should be looking at. And there are a lot of good ideas. I mean, I'm not the only one who brought forward good ideas. We know that we need to have a favorable climate for businesses, both small and large or growing businesses, so that they can actually grow and succeed here in the United States and in Pennsylvania. But the thing that I chose to focus on was working families. During the course of the campaign, we heard from so many people that are struggling under the Bidenomics and the inflation that was brought on during his administration. The prices of fuel, food, housing, healthcare, all of those things have gone up so significantly that people are really struggling, even if they maybe got a raise recently at their job. And so I put on the table four proposals to help working families particularly. One is to expand the business tax credit for them to offer paid family leave. So when people have a child, we know that not everybody is unfortunately offering paid family leave. So this would incentivize businesses so that they could get a bigger tax credit to pay people for that maternity or paternity leave. So we think that's a good thing. We want people to have families and have more children and grow their families if that's what they choose to do. But this would incentivize the businesses to offer them paid family medical leave. So we're proposing to double that tax credit for businesses there. The second thing that we talked about was child care tax credit. We know the extremely high cost of child care is a burden for many working families and keeps some people out of the workforce entirely. And so we're proposing to double the child care tax credit as well. Third is expanding and increasing the child tax credits. That's just regardless of if you're spending money on child care or anything else. This is just a tax credit for people that have children or dependents in their family. And so that would be money directly in people's pockets that they could use for anything. And then fourth and final item is for those families that one are either struggling to have children of their own or maybe just want to grow their family, expanding the adoption tax credit and then also creating a matching component for families that want to use IVF to have a child. And so that's something that's not in the law at all right now, but we know the high cost of IVF is a barrier for some people to use that procedure. So those are all the things that we talked about before Ways and Means. We got a positive response, but now we got to keep fighting to make sure they actually make their way into that reconciliation bill.
Yeah, and that's just IVF, I think, used to be covered by insurance companies. You know, depending on what insurance you have, they usually don't, or it's very limited. And as far as adoption, I know when our own Rich Scioli was going through with his wife, Bridget, adopting, you know, some of their children, the high cost of that was incredible.
That's correct. And, you know, in both of those instances, the costs have gone up over the years. And so with the adoption tax credit right now, it's $16,000. We propose to raise it up to $25,000 and then also have an escalator tied to that so that it would go up over time. It would be a matching tax credit for IVF as well. And those are just, again, two expensive options, unfortunately. And so just trying to help families, if that's the route that you're choosing to go, we want to help you in that path. But the way that we can do that as a government is try to lower that cost barrier for you.
And so for you, it was, you know, the other piece that I wanted to point out was you were talking about safety, Homeland Security, and you were attending your first Homeland GOP hearing this week. And so what was that like for you? I know it was a great experience. You are wearing a green tie. I don't know if you're Eagle Steelers. I'm not sure.
You're a smart one, Dawn. I've worn that a couple times this week. I did it when I was doing another interview with a Philly broadcast channel earlier this week as well. Because, look, we have a big game coming up against an NFC East rival in the Washington Commanders. And I'm down here behind enemy lines. So I got to represent Philly and our Eagles this week.
Amen. So I love it. So, you know, take me through what that hearing was all about. And there's a lot of talk about safety. I mean, we're seeing everybody is talking about the Bill Malusian video with ICE in Boston. That is, you know, and these thugs who are very violent, you know, criminals. And they're, you know, the one guy, I think Tom Homan actually spoke about that, the Haitian guy who said, "I'm not leaving." And they said, "Yeah, he's leaving." But I think those videos, as they emerge from so-called sanctuary cities, and we start realizing that these individuals are among us and that they're dangerous, yep. You know, they're dangerous to everybody. Why? So take me through, because I know there's a lot when we say security and Homeland Security.
Sure. Well, you know, I'll give you a full rundown on what the committee is looking at and what we can do there. But before we jump into that, let's mm-hmm. talk about what occurred this week by rounding up these illegal immigrant criminals who were in our communities. Hundreds were rounded up in just the first days of Donald Trump's presidency. And for months on the campaign trail, we would say that we want to deport illegal immigrants, and particularly starting with criminals. And the radical left would say, "You can't do that. That's not going to happen. It's not possible. We don't have the resources." They would give all these different excuses or explanations why you couldn't keep our community safe. And we saw in the first 2 days of this administration, hundreds of criminals taken off the streets. And really, it just shows you that if you actually had that desire to keep communities safe and deport these illegal immigrant criminals, it could have been done, and it should have been done a long time ago by the Biden administration. But that wasn't their priority. They had a whole different set of mixed up priorities that we disagreed with and the American people disagreed with. So thankfully, we got new leadership that is going to actually secure our communities. So that was a good thing to see. I think we need to continue to carry out those operations to make sure that we can round up every criminal that we can find and make sure that they get deported if they're here illegally.
And Congressman McKenzie, can I just ask you along those lines? Because my son, who's in, you know, criminology and at Penn State, so he noticed something that I did not notice. And that was when we were looking at video, because I was like, "Did you see all these rays? Did you see this video?" And he said, "Oh, that's interesting, because the markings on their, you know, their SWAT or whatever you want to call it, their uniform, it said police, and then it said underneath, but at the top line said police, not ICE." And then I saw that last night the Trump administration, I think it was pretty late yesterday, was deputizing thousands more of these federal law enforcement officers to arrest those illegal migrants. Some of these terms are ironic, but in other words, rounding them up, but deputizing law enforcement. Maybe that explains the more generic uniforms they have. So I just saw that this morning, that there are more, because you think, well, where are they getting the resources?
Yep. And yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak to each particular case that you saw there, because I didn't see or wasn't able to look into those myself. But that is something that we have talked about, is having greater coordination with both federal, state, and local law enforcement officials to carry out these operations. We've obviously heard about the pushback from the sanctuary cities that say they're not going to do that. But there are so many communities across this country that have been inflicted with this kind of violence from illegal immigrants that want to work with the federal government and would be willing to help if they were engaged. And the last administration did not do that. This administration has said that they are going to do that so that they can have a greater force and impact in our local communities to crack down on this crime. So I know that that was something that was discussed previously. So if that's the route they went, that would be a smart thing to do. And so hopefully that's what they're going to continue to do, is engage and work with other law enforcement agencies all across the country to make sure that we're keeping our community safe.
And you, I know you're very proud of the fact that you are part of the Congress that passed the Lake and Riley Act into law. Can you talk about that? Because there's obviously, this will help immigration enforcement, but specifically for those predators like the one who brutally murdered and ravaged Lake and Riley, which is an unthinkable situation, but many like her. Take me through just as far as how that plays into then attending this Homeland Security, you know, that first session.
Yeah, obviously a tragic situation there, and too many tragic situations like that all across the country are happening because we weren't deporting these illegal immigrant criminals. And so, you know, in this particular case, common sense prevailed. I mean, we passed legislation that said when you're picking somebody up for another crime like this of theft or something else that is occurring, if they are here illegally, they should be deported. And that is something that, you know, we were actually able to get the bipartisan support in the House and Senate to pass. But I got to tell you, I mean, long overdue. I mean, when you tell people that this occurred, that this legislation occurred and is going to be signed into law, they said, well, that's great, but how can it be that that wasn't already the law, right? I mean, it's shocking that our country has not been able to update and get the buy-in from Democrats here in D.C. on this common sense legislation. So grateful that it got done, but we need to continue to advance more things like this to keep our community safe. There's no doubt about it. And that's what we're going to be working on the Homeland Security Committee. I've been appointed to two subcommittees, counterterrorism and intelligence, and then also emergency preparedness and technology. And so we're going to be working on all of these issues. And, you know, it's not just illegal immigrants and the crime that's in our local communities. This week we had a hearing about cybersecurity and the threats from China and other state actors against our infrastructure and our local grids and energy, water supplies, all of these different things. And great example was given, you know, by one of the testifiers. They said, we would never stand for it if somebody, you know, packed explosives and tied them to an energy grid or a transmission a substation or something like that. We would go out, we would arrest this person, we would, you know, if it was China, we would be up in arms. But that is what they are doing with some of the things that they are planning through our networks and cyber actions. They are planning ticking time bombs that they can shut down these operations if they want it at a certain moment, if we're not on guard and rooting them out. So that physical analogy, I think, is a good one, because they are infiltrating our networks all across the country. And we are behind the game in trying to secure these networks. So we're trying to play catch up, trying to get up to speed to do what we can to keep our country safe. But that is a very real concern, and it was highlighted in that hearing this week.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. We keep hearing that from these different experts, and I think it's the real deal, because it's a consistent pattern of reporting that it's this so-called ticking time bomb that they've placed. That I still don't understand why China would do that, quite frankly, because they're our business partner. So I never get it, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think the primary explanation that is given is that some of it is, you know, in each state-sponsored actor who carries these things out has different motivations. You know, if it is North Korea, it might be about money. It's financial. It's ransomware. They're trying to shut down somebody's network and then ask for a payment to get it back online. It's because they're so starved for any kind of financial resources in North Korea. Other ones, you know, are just more disruptors like Russia. And then you have China, who is their focus and interest in these kind of cyber actions and cyber terrorism are to plant these seeds in our network so that if and when a time comes when, let's say, they want to invade Taiwan and we want to use military action to try to stop that, then they have this opportunity. They have this in their back pocket where they can shut down our grids or shut down our ports or, you know, any kind of other action. So it's really something that I think a lot of people view as a potential long-term point of leverage that they can use. And so they're burrowing into all kinds of networks and just kind of locating there so that, again, in the long term, if they want to use it, they can. So it's not something that they're looking to use in the immediate term to inflict, you know, financial disruption or disruption of trade or markets. It's really long-term leverage in a potential military conflict.
Congressman Ryan McKenzie, just your thoughts on the week. You know, I know that you were, you tried to put out some social media, a big week for you, a big week for the country and for Americans, as we see. This is a definitive shift in our nation. I mean, we're seeing that, and you're part of it. And so just your takeaway this week, I imagine you probably had to catch your breath at some points. You have your wife, you've got the baby. But take just can you give us a glimpse of your thoughts on this Friday after a whirlwind week?
Absolutely. Well, look, I'm more optimistic than ever about the fact that we can change the direction of our country over the next 2 years. We saw the swearing in of Donald Trump on Monday, and I was there in the rotunda. It was an uplifting, optimistic, positive speech, a new vision to help working class people all across the country to rein in the chaos that was going on the southern border, to reestablish our strength in global affairs. And what I saw in that rotunda was many Democrats didn't even choose to attend, which is disappointing. But the ones that were there were actually joining the Republican elected officials in standing and applauding many of those things that Donald Trump was advocating for. So that was great to see because, you know, I think they may be for a long time had been afraid to do that because of their Democrat liberal base. But now the American people have spoken. They want this change. They want this positive direction in our country. And I think we're going to get more people on board. And this movement is only going to grow if we can actually carry out these things that we talked about on the campaign in governing for the American people.
And finally, Congressman Ryan McKenzie, we always give our predictions. So earlier this morning on air, I had given my prediction of, I said, Eagles 35, Commanders 31. They don't make the spread, but we win. There you are in D.C., in Commander country there. So do you have any prediction for us?
I'm going Eagles 27, Commanders 24. It's going to be a close game, a little back and forth, but I think our Eagles are going to pull it out. And so can't wait for it. Very excited.
Well, we thank you so much once again. And until next time, have a wonderful weekend and go Eagles.
All right. Go Eagles.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.